Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Welcome back, listeners, as we continue with part two of our interview with Tim, as he continues his story on the description of hell, and we pick up when he is conscious in his room, and the story continues. So we're excited to have you back to hear the rest of this amazing, amazing story.
When I woke up in intensive care, I had all these doctors and nurses, all the bells and whistles hooked up to me. And they said, Mr. Purvis said, oh, your family's been waiting outside for over 9 hours. I said, waiting to see you. I know you'd like to see them. And I said, no. I said, I don't want to see my family. And they all looked at me and they said, I said, I need to see the chaplain at the hospital and I need to see him right now. It just so happened that the chaplain was a Lady Baptist preacher, and she came on in. The light, she was right outside the door. She came in, and she said, I understand you need to see me. I said, yes, ma'am, I do. I want to rededicate my life, and I want to do it right now. And, I woke up, I was clear. My mind was clear when I was doing it. And we had prayer, I rededicated my life, and then I looked at all those doctors and nurses and I said, and now I have a story I want to tell y'all. I told them that story, my story. It was not a dry eye in the room when I got through. I hadn't experienced anything like that. And after my surgery, they ended up having to take veins out of both my legs, and my legs swelled up real bad. I couldn't walk, so I ended up having to stay at Rex. It waked me at lots longer than what I should have. But I was put there for the opportunity that I had to tell my story. All the student nurses that came through, any doctors, any nurses, I had people sending people down the hall to come and hear my story. When I left Wake Med, I went to the Albemarle, which is a nursing home in Tarboro, North Carolina. I was there for 3 weeks to recuperate. Even though I'm 70-some years old, besides having open heart surgery, I was in pretty good shape. My mind was clear. And a nursing home is kind of a tough place to be under the best conditions. But God put me there. God, I have no doubt, God put me there because I got to witness and tell my story to all those people in the nursing home, the nurses that work, that walk with me. That a lot of them were not Christians. I got a chance to tell my story to them. And in the process, as I was getting stronger, I could see changes in some of them, and they would send other people down to hear my story. As I was meeting people, one of the most important things is, when you meet people and you see somebody that has that they have that peace that passes all understanding, and you can recognize the Christian that's in them, and they don't even have to tell you. You can, when you meet somebody that has that peace, you know it. And what a wonderful feeling that is. And as far as utilizing my talents, I think back, and this man that did this to me, this happened about 40 years ago, and he's dead and gone now. And he never realized the influence he's had on my life. I was over in Greenville, North Carolina at Christmas shopping with my wife. Being from a small town, I can just sit back and watch people. I'm never ceased to amaze me, different shapes and sizes of people. I enjoy watching people. And I was sitting over there, my wife was Christmas shopping, and this elderly Afro-American man came up and sat down next to me. And he asked me, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, if you weren't, I wanted to share with you about my Christ." And I have thought about that many, many times. And I think about it now. The opportunities that we have had, that we let go by, that we did not share Christ. That's a God-given talent to be able to share Christ. Mm-hmm. The opportunities that we have to share Christ with somebody. And that man never knew that when he did that to me, that I'd be sitting here talking to y'all and telling that. But it just goes to show you just what a little encouragement that we need to give people. We need to share the gospel. I've had the opportunity to go to many churches and share my testimony. I've had the opportunity to go to it's a lot of Christian sportsmen's group down in the eastern part of the state. Go down and talk with them. We are not alone. It's a lot of strong Christians out there, but we all need to utilize our talents, because God is going to hold us accountable if we don't. And once again, nothing makes me feel any better than being with a group of people that love Christ, and you know that they have that peace that passes all understanding, and you know that they're trying to be the type of person that God wants you to be. And in closing what I'm talking about, I just want to say that to everybody that's listening, that just know that God loves you. God wants you to utilize your talents. Your Christian brothers and sisters love you. And remember that hell is real, and that to just utilize your talents for the glory of God. Thank you for the opportunity to share my message.
Absolutely. Now, as you recall, you were on the, I'm sure you were told you were on the operating table for a number of hours, about 9 hours, back to surgery was. So, and I've been under sodium pentothal, which I'm sure that's what the anesthesiologist used on you. As I recall, I usually just start counting. 1, 2, 3, and I don't get very far. And then the next thing I know, I'm awake again. But in your case, it was a very vivid memory of you left the consciousness of this physical world. The next thing you know, you are suspended above the pit of hell, as you described it, as being boiling, as being, maybe in my mind, as you were talking, I was picturing what I would think of as a volcano, looking down into that red hot lava, a river of lava, that kind of thing. Is that what you were experiencing?
It was like a it was, as far as the eye could see, it was just a lake of fire.
As far as you could see,
from horizon to horizon.
It's interesting.
And it was just, and it was boiling, and it was I have been put to sleep since then. And for a long time after this incident, I would still have dreams about this. It was instilled in me, but nothing like what the initial effect was. Nothing of that clarity.
Yeah. It's interesting that you met two folks, as you stated, had passed away about 6 months before this incident that you're describing. But you didn't see any what you would call angels, spirit beings of that kind, right?
No, these two, and like I say, this was just like their essence. It was just like they were. It was a glow, mm-hmm. And the only thing was out of all of that was, we're all right.
Yeah,
don't worry about us.
The thing that struck me was that as you were hovering over hell, you didn't experience God at all. You couldn't feel him at all. And that's what hell literally is eternal separation from God. But you being a Christian, God is just letting you see this. And then he makes himself known through songs and through scripture that came to your mind and you said over and over again. So that brought you back to God. I mean, it brought you to, this is the realization. And then to see your brothers over there in a glorious form, that was yet even another thing that God expressed to you, that I'm here. You know, you're not going to ever do everything I want you to do, nor do we do it. And we can feel guilty from it, but we never need to lose that understanding that by his grace we are saved, and that even though we fail, we need to hear these experiences of others that says, push on, and finish the race and finish it strong. So I think you're sharing this, brother, I hope is an encouragement to Christians out there, but also that maybe there are some out there that are not sure, that they don't want to be a part of that eternal lake of fire, nor absolutely a part of eternal separation from God. And that can absolutely be corrected with a profession of faith and understanding and acknowledging who God really is.
I had two friends that came to visit me when I was in the nursing home, and they came in and I told them both my story. And one of my friends shared with me after that, and he said, Joey told me, he said, you know, Tim was a good man. Tim was good. Why did that happen to him? He's been a good man all his life. And he said, you didn't understand what he said. Being good is not going to get you into heaven.
That's exactly right.
Being good is not going to get you in heaven. And I heard a little story. I won't share this with y'all on a light note, that it was this fella had he had died, and he had gone to see St. Peter, and he was up talking to St. Peter, and told St. Peter was ready to come in, wanted to come on into heaven. St. Peter said, well, things have kind of changed up here. We're on a point system up here now. Said that the guy said, well, he says, I've been going to church all my life. He said, well, that'll get you 50 points. He said, well, how many you got to have? He said, well, you got to have 100. He said, well, he said, I've been tithing real good. He said, well, that'll get you another 3 points. He said, well, he said, I've been good to my fellow man. He said, well, that'll get you another 6 points. He says, good gracious, he says, I'll never get 100 points. Said, the only way I'll ever get to heaven is by the grace of God. St. Peter says, Amen. And that's the only way we're going to get.
Yeah.
The only way we're going to get that is going to be by the grace of God and God's love. God does not ask much of us. That's what's so hard for people to mm-hmm. understand. And God's love is the most amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And I know in my life now that God loves me and I love God and I want to do everything I can to keep myself where I am. Although I still have faults, we all have faults. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't imagine going through life without God being with me and the fact that he showed me for just a short while what it would be like without him. It's got to be the most awful feeling. And anybody that doesn't have God in their life does not realize what a wonderful feeling, how much your life will change when you put God first.
Amen.
Now, to sum up, it seems like, as I'm listening to your fantastic story, and I'm thinking, God used it to show you three things. Let's see if this is fair. One, the reality of hell. Two, he wanted you to be, as far as your deceased friends were, he wanted you to feel at ease about that because they said they were okay and they were in glory. And the third would be about get to work, use your talents for God. Is that, would that be pretty accurate?
That's it.
Okay, good.
But even if you didn't use all your talents and your abilities that you have, your name is still written on the book of life. It just means that you don't experience God's presence as often, and you have certain times that you need to ask for forgiveness, and that's good to ask for forgiveness. But the thing is, you're already forgiven, and that's what I don't want to leave in our listeners' minds, that God's grace is sufficient to cover all of our shortcomings, even though we don't use the talents. He gave you an example to be able to move in the rest of the days you have to share this testimony and to share with others, to get out there and go. To encourage them is great, but don't let that be something that keeps them on a guilt trip. That's the thing I see a lot of days, is that we feel like we're on a guilt trip, and we're always going to come up short with regard to man. But God's got it covered.
Right.
So that's why I want to leave with our listeners today that God, even though we don't always do what we're supposed to do, that he loves us anyway and grace covers it.
Absolutely. And he uses this, as you said, he used this to motivate me to tell this message.
Amen.
Because if not, I wouldn't be here.
Absolutely.
One of the most striking features to me about your story, and what really drives it home to me, is I've repeatedly used, whether I've been in a classroom situation or a personal situation, I've used that expression, hell is the place where God is. It's the feeling of being totally separated from God, which is the absolute worst thing that could ever be.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, to look at one's destiny, to look at the lake of fire, those two things obviously made a strong impression on you. And thank God that you were willing to say to the Lord, hey, when I get back to that, if you allow me to come awake again, I'm going to get a hold of somebody such as the chaplain, and I'm going to say, hey, I want to rededicate my life, and I love what you said right now. There was no hesitation. Your mind was made up, and God's been using you ever since, and I say amen.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for your story, brother.
Thank you all for the opportunity to tell it.
Let me just say to our listeners, if you don't know Christ now, and after you've heard this story, why would you want to make a choice to burn in hell and be completely isolated from communication with God? I mean, why would you want to make that choice? It's as simple as ABC. You know, you can, you know, accept that Christ is a Savior to us, believe that He is here to relieve you of your sins. You have to confess your sins to Christ and say that I want you as my Lord and Savior. And that's the first step that you need to take. So to our listeners, if you've not accepted Christ today, you can do it right now as soon as this podcast is over, or even before it's over, you can begin. So, Tim, thank you for sharing with our listeners today. It's been miraculous to hear your story about hell. And
I would also like to add that I'm willing to go anywhere and tell my story. I don't care whether it's one person I've talked to big groups. I get a blessing every time I do it.
Amen.
You know, there's a song out now by Mercy Me. It's called Somebody. And it says, I'm a nobody wanting to share with everybody what Jesus Christ has done for me in my life. So that's what we all are. We're nobodies, and we want to share with everybody what Christ has done for us.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Acts 8:20 says, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Acts 16:31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool.
If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.